Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films are Charm City, Blaze, and A Star is Born. Did you like it? Hi, David. How are you?
Well, you're going to find that out shortly because I want to start by talking about Charm City, if you don't mind. Charm City, this may come as a big surprise to a lot of people, but Charm City is a nickname, I guess a self-imposed nickname or a self-designated nickname for Baltimore, the city where I have lived now for some years. And I've always regarded this as a rather amusing nickname because in a whole lot of ways, as anyone who has ever seen even 5 minutes of The Wire will confirm, is not in many ways a particularly charming city, but it has been known for a long time as Charm City. And I guess that's nice because, of course, it does have its charming aspects. So Charm City is a new documentary just coming out about now by a filmmaker named Marilyn Ness. And it begins by an announcement of the astonishing amount of violence and murder and awful stuff in Baltimore. By the way, another nickname that Baltimore has, which is less frequently heard, is Bulletmore. There are an awful lot of killings here. We are one of the leading, like, murder cities in the country, and sometimes I think the leading murder city. And this is kind of what Charm City is about, but it's not just dwelling on the darkness at all. Charm City is a documentary which is just full of little vignettes of people, real life things, of course, really doing their very best to try to make the city a better place. It's full of little episodes, portraits about people's efforts to turn neighborhoods around, to organize communities, to just improve things sort of on a street-by-street, even block-by-block level, to make little areas of the city more livable, cleaner, less violent, more neighborly with each other. And then there are also some touch spaces sometimes with efforts to do things on the whole city government level. I have to say I did not find the documentary Charm City to be particularly persuasive. It was very, very nice to see all of these people doing what they could to try to make the city into a better place, and it really reminds you of how many really well-meaning, warm-hearted people there are who want to do good and who devote their lives to doing it, whether it's just organizing neighbors in street corner meetings once a week or whether it's getting into the city government. But I came out feeling I'm not sure that any progress is ever going to be made through means like these. They all seem very good-hearted efforts, but I came out not feeling particularly hopeful about the future of the American city, whether it's Baltimore or many other troubled American cities. So it's a movie that maybe that's in its to its credit. At least in me, it did not raise any particular false hopes that are likely to be disappointed. I came out at the end saying, well, my gosh, these problems may in fact really be intractable, and maybe all you can do is make things a little bit violent every once in a while from time to time. I wish that the movie had left me with more hopeful feelings than that, but whatever else it is a very sincere and open-hearted attempt to portray the efforts within one troubled American city to make life in that city a little bit better, and that, well, that's something, although I wish that there were really more on offer. Let us turn to Blaze. In fact, our next two movies, Blaze and A Star is Born, are both movies very much about popular music. And Blaze is a biopic about a very little-known folk singer named Blaze Foley. That wasn't his real name, but that was his singing name, his musician name. And he is played in this movie by a real musician who named Ben Dickey. This is his first performance as an actor ever. He is, again, really a musician. And he now is an actor, courtesy of this movie, and I'm sure we will be seeing more of him in the acting scene. And Blaze Foley, the real-life Blaze Foley, and also the one who we see being portrayed in this movie, which, by the way, was directed by Ethan Hawke, the actor. Blaze Foley was another, yet another, of the very, very troubled and turmoil and turbulent musicians who had a very difficult life. He was plagued by a real serious major alcohol problem that was constantly undercutting his own career. He obviously had, as alas, so many popular musicians do, have traditionally over the years, a real self-destructive streak. And that is very much what the movie is about. But interestingly, the movie Blaze is a very, very low-key movie. It is almost devoid of melodrama. It has plenty of melodramatic scenes. It has plenty of scenes of things going horribly wrong, and beautiful little romantic scenes. A lot of the movie deals with him and his relationship with his girlfriend Sybil Rosen, and eventually she became his wife. And there are some very sweet romantic scenes there, and there are some very nice music scenes. But by and large, the movie is full of the scenes of self-destruction and the things going horribly wrong, but always understated, underplayed. It's a very, very interesting approach. We're used to movies like this having big scenes and tumult and turmoil and so forth, and here we do have all of those scenes, but again, they are done in such a laid back way that it has a very interesting effect. Even the structure of the movie is sort of indirect and just ever so slightly oblique. The thing is framed by a radio interview with a couple of other musicians, one of whom is Townes Van Sant, a better known musician than Blaze Foley was, and who had a very, very close relationship with Blaze Foley. And so we have Townes Van Sant and another member of the music scene engaged in a radio interview. And every once in a while over the course of the film, we cut back to this, and it helps to structure the movie and fill in some of the blanks in the actual narrative that we see scene by scene. And it also gives the movie the slightly cool, slightly distanced effect that we keep cutting back to this sort of verbalization about Foley's life, every once in a while interspersed with all these scenes of reenacting scenes from Foley's life. Another major character is, again, his girlfriend and wife, Sybil Rosen, and the movie is based, in fact, on a memoir by her, which is interestingly entitled Living in the Woods in a Tree, Remembering Blaze Foley. And during a certain part of his career, he did. He lived way out in the country with absolutely none of the modern conveniences of life, and with her. And then, he got back into sort of the mainstream of life and of pop music life. And he developed a real career and cut records and all of that. But again, he never became major, which is why his name is not going to be familiar to many people before they see this movie. But it was an interesting life, and the movie makes it interesting for us to watch. Now, I have to say, again, I was very refreshed by and I'm very impressed by Ethan Hawke's approach in directing this movie. He does not appear in it, by the way, except that he plays the host of that radio interview, but we only see him from behind and we only really hear his voice from time to time. The movie is, in fact, very low-key, very understated, very laid-back, and it is, I think, too much so. I'm very impressed by the movie in a lot of ways, partly because of that understated approach. I think it's one of the year's most interesting movies, but it really didn't engage me very much. I kept feeling I had to sort of be straining to pick up the threads here because they were being suggested in such delicate and sort of nuanced and subtle ways. So if there's such a thing as a movie being too impressively laid-back and understated and kind of polite for its own good, then Blaze might be a case of that. It was an interesting kind of a thing. The end of Blaze Foley's life, and this is not really a spoiler here because we have hints of it before we actually see it in the movie near the end. The end of his life was a violent one, unfortunately, and that is there is a place where the movie kind of can't help getting into a bit of melodrama. But even there, it's understated, it's indirect, it does not push our faces into the unpleasant. And this sort of lets us know what happened in a very frank and candid way. So, interesting case, Blaze, a movie which is almost too subtle, too nuanced for its own good. I'll be interested to see. I don't think it's attracting a very wide audience, but I'll be interested to see if it attracts much attention in the awards season, which is coming up very soon now. I think it really deserves to, but I'm wondering again if it's maybe not too polite for its own good. I'm very impressed with it, but I'm also slightly frustrated with it in that department. I will say, though, that Ethan Hawke is becoming a better filmmaker as he goes along, and this is a very, very interestingly directed movie. And finally, let us turn to the movie that at the moment it appears that everybody, including me, is talking about, and that is A Star is Born. This is, as I'm sure many people are well aware, the fourth movie, the fourth big deal mainstream movie to have that title, A Star is Born. The first one was way back in 1937, directed by a very fine Hollywood filmmaker, William A. Wellman, and it was not a musical. It initiated the story, which is very familiar to us by now, or at least it initiated the sort of ongoing form of the story, where we have a young up-and-comer who wants to make it in showbiz, who meets a veteran, who, however, has a terrible, terrible drinking problem, at least as bad as Blaze Foley's. And he helps her to establish herself. It's always the older person is always a man and the younger person is always a woman. Helps her establish herself and get started on the ladder. Ultimately, she does become a star while he burns himself out with his drinking and his bad behavior. That movie was remade. The 1937 was remade in 1954 by the great filmmaker George Cukor with the great James Mason and the legendary Judy Holliday. And this is when it became a musical because, of course, Judy Holliday was playing a singer who gets discovered by an experienced actor, the James Mason character, who again, as always in this story, helps her get onto the ladder, and she ultimately becomes a star at the end of the movie, whereas he burns himself out and commits suicide. Then we have the third version, which came out in 1976, directed by Frank Pearson. And now we have Barbara Streisand and Kris Kristofferson as our main characters. And here she already is a very energetic and active singer with her own personality, but she is unknown, whereas Kris Kristofferson is a great, big, huge star. And again, he helps her become the star, and he burns himself out and then ultimately commits suicide at the end. And now we have our brand new version of the movie starring Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga. And when I first heard about that casting, I was very skeptical, I must say. Also, by the way, Bradley Cooper has directed the new version of A Star is Born. So that was interesting, too. So we have a new director, and he is directing himself in the leading role with Lady Gaga in the other leading role. So how are things going to turn out here? Interestingly, all of these are good movies. Every single version of A Star is Born is a good movie. And I think that this version is better than at least the 1976 version, where Streisand does some astonishingly good work in it. I'm not particularly a Streisand admirer, but she does some really amazing work in that. And Kristofferson is a perfectly adequate co-star with her in that. I think that's the weakest of it. And even that is really not a bad movie at all. The new film, A Star is Born, does not live up to the Judy Garland, James Mason version, but it is always lively, and it certainly rolls along at a very rollicking pace. As for Lady Gaga, again, I was very skeptical. Is she going to be another Madonna, an unbelievably popular pop star who always is trying to establish a movie career and never quite succeeding in that? Even though this is Lady Gaga's first big film, I think she's actually quite impressive. And I suspect that she will have a more successful career as a movie actress than Madonna has had, and probably than some of the other pop stars who have attempted movie careers. She's really pretty good. She manages to carry her character. She manages to build her character in a persuasive way. And she does some very good singing, not as good as Streisand's in the 1976 version, but she does some really, really good musical work. As for Bradley Cooper, he is a very limited actor, I think. And I strongly suspect that he had the Kris Kristofferson portrayal from the 70s very much in mind, because he really reminds me of Kris Kristofferson just all through the film. He seems to have a lot of the same sort of vocal inflections and mannerisms and so forth. So I find it a very derivative performance, which reflects Bradley Cooper's limitations as an actor. That said, he's reasonably effective opposite Lady Gaga, who is actually pretty impressive. In the supporting cast, we have Sam Elliott doing what Sam Elliott always does. Here he plays the best friend with his ingratiating manner, and he has one or two effectively emotional scenes. Andrew Dice Clay is very good as Lady Gaga's father. He's turned turning into a reasonably impressive character actor in his later years. The thing that is weakest about the movie is the screenplay. The New Star is Born has a screenplay which is based, and this is all credited, very strongly on the screenplays of each of the earlier versions of the film. They're all credited. But also then all the new twists in this were written by three writers, including Bradley Cooper. And the screenplay is very, very sort of spotty and disjointed. We seem to always be racing from one thing to another, and worse, leaping from one thing to another. There's a whole lot of filler material, but wait a minute, how did she get from there to there? Well, we don't know. Just all of a sudden there's a cut, and she got from there to there. And this kind of thing happens over and over again, and it prevents the movie, I think, from being as dramatically effective as it might if it had a better worked out screenplay. It has some good music in it, though. I enjoyed the music. I found the guitar playing interesting, very sort of Eric Clapton. That was a sort of a nostalgia trip for me, even though this film is obviously a very up-to-the-minute kind of achievement. And by and large, I found it perfectly entertaining, and I am sure that fans of Lady Gaga and fans of Bradley Cooper will find it even more than that. So, you know, a good movie. Not a great movie. There's a whole lot of talk about awards buzz for A Star Is Born, and I wouldn't be surprised to see it figuring very heavily in some of the races that are just starting to heat up. And so that is my somewhat musical story this week, Jill.
Thank you very much, David Sterrett. Films in Focus, the films Charm City, Blaze, and A Star Is Born.